City of Oakland, California. Today's date is Monday, December 8th, 2025, and we are beginning the meeting at 6:02 p.m. Chair, the meeting is live.
Thank you. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Can everyone please stand?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we please have a roll call?
Yes, Chair Griffith.
Present.
Vice Chair Hartwig is excused. Commissioner Castillo.
Present.
Commissioner Montgomery.
Here.
Commissioner Dardis.
Present.
Commissioner Jung Lee.
Present.
Commissioner Mays.
Present.
We have a quorum. Thank you. This takes us to item three, approval of the minutes, and this is for October 27th, 2025, which is a regular board meeting of the commissioners. Are there any questions, any comments? And if not, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Commissioner Dardis, I second.
Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any extensions? Hearing none, the motion carries. Okay. This takes us to item. Well, let me just ask first. Secretary Wells, are there any members of the public wishing to address this board item?
We have no members of the public wishing to address the board, Chair.
Okay. And so I will take that as for item four as well.
No, yeah.
So moving on to item five, which is old or old finished business. Do we have any?
We have none.
Thank you. Item six, modifications to the agenda.
There are no modifications to the agenda, Chair.
Moving right along, item seven, new business.
Thank you. Item 7.1 is a action item. It's to adopt a resolution authorizing the amendment of Board Resolution 5189, which authorized a commitment of $10 million of moving to work funds for the rehabilitation of Harrison Tower located at 1619 and 1621 Harrison Street, therein referred to as the property, and commit those funds solely to the residential portion of the property, authorizing a conditional commitment of additional MTW funds in an amount not to exceed $7 million to finance the residential portion of the property costs for a total development loan to Harrison Tower Development Partners, LP, herein referred to as the partnership, in an amount not to exceed $17 million, subject to the National Environmental Policy Act, also known as NEPA, and California Environmental Quality Act, also known as CEQA, approval as applicable, authorizing the subdivision of the property into residential and commercial parcels to facilitate the rehabilitation of the property, and authorizing the executive director to negotiate and enter into such documents as are necessary to loan the funds to the partnership, to provide site control to the partnership, and as are necessary to subdivide the property. Commissioners, this is an item that we have had as a milestone to seek for quite a few years now. I'm delighted as your CEO and executive director to bring it forward this morning. We have quite an involved presentation so that we're able to explain the action items that are being proposed to you this evening. Here to present on this item is our team led by Tom Deloy, Chief Officer of Real Estate Development. As you note, he is joined by our Senior Project Manager, Ms. Denny Adonaiya, and they are supported by our development attorney, Ms. Isabel Brown from Goldfarb and Lipman. Also joining us this evening is part of the partnership, President of JSCO Development, Ms. Margaret Miller, and Director of Development, Mr. Don Lusty. Mr. Deloy, please begin our presentation, sir.
Executive Director Wells, thank you so much. Tom Deloy, Chief Officer of Real Estate Development. Good evening, Commissioners. I'm going to throttle down this evening so you can understand me, not go at the rapid Tom Deloy pace. So I hope you can navigate that well. All right, so slide number one. This is just to introduce the topic that we did go before the Real Estate Standing Committee on November 18th. And, of course, we're excited to present this item to you. What? Can't hear me? What's that? I have control. Can you do this keyboard? All right, thank you, sir. So we're presenting to you, this slide looks comfortable. It is, in fact, Harrison Tower residents doing a charrette. We're taking their input at this moment in this slide as depicted by looking at the common area right above us on floor number three to make sure that we get it right going forward with the rehab. It seems straightforward enough, but I want to introduce the concept that this is a mixed-use property, and we're going to unbundle that, unpack that in detail later on in this presentation, but basically the residential use and the commercial use. So from a residential standpoint, there are 100 apartments. All of them, 100% of them, are one-bedroom units. We are going to touch all of them with rehab, and they're 100% for seniors. The rehab is substantial, so as I said, we're going to redo the interiors of all the units. We're also going to do the major systems. We're going to upgrade and expand the common areas, and we're going to put in seismic retrofit throughout the building. We're going to rely upon the financing that's typical. We're going to look for tax-exempt bonds. We're going to look for 4% tax credits. We're going to rely upon the prowess of the housing authority with project-based vouchers and MTW reserves. We will attract permanent debt, but the partners behind me, together with Denny, we will also chase money that's available to us, Federal Home Loan Bank grants and maybe an energy grant. So we'll do our best to attract some other capital. But we will be very clear. The majority of the investment is through your approvals, both in the past and going forward in the future. Not to last but not least, is the wide range of services and activities that we will plan for the residents that will reoccupy the property when it is completed, and we'll tell you when it's going to be completed. Good looking group here, I'm sure you'll agree. But we wanted to bring you current with all of the activity, and we'll look forward to the milestone schedule and the forecast of things to come. But in April earlier this year, we did select the John Stewart Company as our development partner, also as our property manager, and they included in their proposal a partnership with LifeSteps to bring resident services. More recently, in September of this year, we signed the joint development agreement and the pre-development loan agreement. So those are behind us. Currently, on this date, in December 8th of 2025, we are at 70% level of design development drawings. So we'll reference that date or that percentage again and again, but we're incomplete on design is the message here. While 70% sounds like a lot, we are in the design development phase and not the construction phase of design. Going on with current status. As of this time, we are nearing completion of the environmental approvals. We went through the Native American tribal consultations. That period of time has passed. We've packaged the responses therein, and we have submitted to the State Historic Preservation Office. That is the acronym known as SHPO. We still have to get CEQA. That is to come in January, and then NEPA to be completed in March of 2026. The resident relocation status, this is favorably inaccurate. We currently have 11 residents that are living above us in the tower, not 14. And they've been successfully relocated to, as depicted on the slide, to other locations of their choosing on a voluntary basis. None of this has been a mandatory relocation. Here, this is looking forward most recently. Most of it is looking forward. Most recently, in August of 2023, this board approved a $10 million loan to the property, actually to the partnership. And going forward in March of 2026, we project that the building will be 100% vacant. We project that the NEPA will be completed in March of 2026. We will submit for permits to the city in the July timeframe of this coming year. And then thereafter, with success, we will, we don't need success, but we will submit by pro forma, by schedule in September of 2026, but by good fortune, we will be awarded a tax credit award in December of 2026. We will close on all that financing in June of 2027. we will start construction the day thereafter or some, you know, immediate period thereafter in June of 2027. It's a 15-month construction period, so we will complete construction of September of 2028, and we hope to have 100% occupancy of the brand new rehabbed Harrison Tower in March of 2029. So those are major league milestones for us, and we will be held accountable to that. But ultimately, we need to gear the machine so that we submit in September of next year for the tax credits. This is the ownership structure. Ownership is important to us and our partners. So let me take you through it. This Harrison Tower Development Partners is a limited partnership. We always structure our deals in this way. So it's like things you've seen before. We have administrative general partner, a managing general partner, and a limited partner. And those are, this is a joint venture with John Stewart Company. So the administrative partner, general partner is John Stewart Harrison LLC. And the sole member of that is the John Stewart Company. That's depicted on the far left. In the middle is us. It's Ramp LLC. That will be a formed limited liability corporation. And the sole member of that will be Ramp Inc. And for, as a placeholder limited partner, it will be the John Stewart Company. But then when we go to the market and we select the tax credit equity investor, the John Stewart Company will limited leave in their role as limited partner, and the new tax credit equity investor will enter the partnership. Now, let's take the early slide of mixed use where we have two components, the commercial component and the residential component, and let's just further that a little bit further. Director Wells, in her opening read of the agenda item, mentioned the term subdivision. So we're looking to have you authorize her to do this subdivision. Subdivision comports with the residential and commercial parts that we've already identified that are users of this tower. So on that note, so the commercial use comports or brings, begets a commercial air rights parcel. The residential use brings forth the residential air rights parcel. So air rights parcel is just a concept. We further subdivide that into the air rights and then the improvements within that air rights, okay? So I don't want to lose you, but everything is owned by the housing authority in this subdivision, but for the improvements in the residential. The improvements in the residential will revert in ownership back to the housing authority after the tax credit compliance period. So the reason we're using air rights is because the residential tower, the floors 10 through and above, or the floors 4 through 13 above, together with the third floor, those are all going to be included in the tax credit application, but they're not attached to terra firma or Mother Earth. So we have this concept of air rights. I hope that's becoming a bit more clear, but the air rights parcel will be leased to the partnership, and the improvements will be owned by the partnership through the tax credit compliance period. But at the end of the day, everything comes back in ownership. And in the meantime, we maintain control so that if there's a problem, otherwise known as a default, everything, we maintain control.
And thank you so much, Mr. Deloy. I'm going to take a natural pause here and ask Council Brown to add clarity to the explanation of ownership and roles in this particular project.
Yes.
Ms. Brown?
Yes, thank you. Good evening, commissioners. So in order to facilitate a tax credit deal, the limited partnership needs to own those improvements so it can take sort of depreciation over those. So that's why you see Tom talking about those improvements that are within the residential parcel being owned by that partnership during the term. But taking a step back, because we have both offices and residential space in this, and we don't want to taint the commercial, the office space, with all the financing that's going to attach to the residential, we subdivide this tower into two pieces. And if you just owned a flat piece of land, there would just be a horizontal subdivision of that land into two pieces. But because we now have this third dimension, this vertical dimension, we end up with what's called an air right subdivision. So we have a vertical dimension to our subdivision, not just a horizontal dimension. And the housing authority will own everything, but will lease those floors 3 through to the roof to the limited partnership, but it will keep ownership of its land. And so all the financing with respect to the residential will only attach to that residential air rights parcel. We could have not done the subdivision, but the result of that would be that the Housing Authority's offices would be owned by that limited partnership and subject to all of the financing. And so this protects the Housing Authority by keeping the offices within ownership of the Housing Authority.
Thank you so much, Ms. Brown and Mr. Deloy. And I just wanted to give a pause to see if there are any questions from our board. Awesome. Please proceed. Thank you.
Thank you, Isabel. Thank you, Director Wells. Back to this beautiful drawing. This was at the talented hands of none other than Isabel Brown.
Thank you, Chair. This artistry is brought to you this evening, as well as to the team by Isabel Brown. And the reason it's here is because it does give that dimensionality. This is a north section view. And so the commercial space obviously extends in the green to the west, but not under the tower. And then, of course, the Harrison Street side is facing eastward. And this is, I think, helpful because it also depicts better than the photograph that I showed initially how we're subdividing the property. Here is a chart otherwise known as sources or the capital stack. And the reason I have highlighted or we have highlighted in the green is because that's an action the board took in August of 2023, the $10 million. What's before us tonight is discussion of and hopefully approval of the other two items and highlighted in yellow, the $4.4 million and the $2.5 million. The $2.5 million is contingency. That is because we don't know that we're going to get the award, but when we do get the award, as projected in that forward-looking milestone schedule, we anticipate that there might be further cost escalation or further identification of costs or scope. And so we're trying to reel that in so that we have precision, and we will have precision or better precision. It's never perfect at the time we close in the future. But this is a cautionary cushion so that we can add to the 4.4 that we're actually seeking tonight for a total of $7 million. In this capital stack, there are other elements. This is out-of-pocket cash of MTW reserves into the asset known as the residential portion or to the partnership for this project. So this capital stack, these resources, are then available to then spend them on these various aspects, the acquisition, the hard cost, the soft cost, the cost of issuance. We've also highlighted again the contingency. So the previous number, going backwards a slide, $103,307,850 is matched by the uses of $103,307,850. So here is that view that we want to look at, which is the prior $10 million at the top of the chart that was available to us through the board's action in August of 2023. We've added in and have failed yet to mention that this tower will benefit from 100 project-based vouchers, and that has a value over 20 years of $57,240,000. It's a 20-year contract with a 20-year renewal. And then, of course, the current request, which is $7 million. So if you add that all up, it's $74,240,000. No question that's a lot of money. That's a huge investment. There is additional. I didn't bring that to the fore because we are also providing a seller carryback loan. We are contributing general partnership fees into this, but I don't want to wear you out with the detail, but, you know, this is a huge investment. Also doesn't include staff time and so on and so forth. So the timeline for the Board of Commissioners is taking you back in history is it's been a long time coming to get to this point, and we haven't yet had the success that we so endeavor to have with a successful tax credit award in 2026. But we started in 2012 with a physical needs assessment of the property. In 2017, it was part of the application to do a Section 18 disposition. You might recall we started with Oak Grove. So this was in that original group. We went to permanent financing in March of 2023. In the meantime, we were designing on Harrison Tower. So anyway, we started with a point of beginning of Section 18 disposition. Thereafter, in April of 2023, we met with some members of the board, the real estate committee, and we tossed about, based on the costs and the projection of costs, should we in should we consider raising the property and just starting anew and building new construction on the same site? Or would we be better off give consideration to rehab? There was a $40 million delta between those two propositions at that time. And it, with support of the board and staff's recommendations, was to proceed at that time with the rehabilitation.
Excuse me one second. I wanted to remind the board that that assessment was at the bequest of our Board of Commissioners to make sure that we were looking at all possibilities for the property. Sir?
Thank you, Director Wells. Here, in, again, in August of 2023, I wanted to point out that the drivers on the right for the cost assumptions were in 2022. We took a conceptual budget at the time. The conceptual budget was based on dated information, unfortunately, based on 2020 information and some engineering plans that evolved in April of 2022. The reason we took it to the board at the time was because we felt that was a necessary action. So we asked at the time, based on the information that we had, the best available information, there was a $10 million gap. And so that's what was requested at that time. Now, to play forward, we have a lot better information, and that's why we have yet an additional request. That better information is that we went and we asked our general contractor in September of this year to go to the market, not just do an escalation, not a mathematical exercise of take the last best estimate and grow it by whatever. We actually said, go to the street, talk to the subcontractors and get us a price. So they did that. That information that they provided to those subconsultants and to the general contractor themselves was all of the above. It was a February 2024 cost estimate based on structural and engineering changes at the time. We have gotten better and better information on structural engineering. We've gotten better and better clarification on the unit interiors rehab and so on and so forth. And so that was able to give us the information that we needed to now make this request that yet the project requires, and we feel deserving of the request before you, which was $7 million. Coupled with the earlier $10 million, it's a total $17 million request, and it's the staff's recommendation that we amend the previous resolution to include this request this evening. Some of the drivers that you may say, well, what's driving these hard costs, Tom? What do you see or what has yet been resolved in the design of the project? And these are so listed here. I could read through them individually, but don't need to do that. They total $1,017,500, and it's various things. To say that these have been completed at these costs is a misnomer. These are best guess or best informed information from our estimator at Nibby Brothers and working with us and the design team so that we can bring resolution and final design on these decisions. But this is work that is currently before us. Remember, I said we're at 70% design. There's a lot more design to be done, and that design will be finished next summer in June. Okay, so we don't yet have a full playbook on which to get best pricing, but we're working hand in glove with our development partners and our general contractor and as many folks as we can to bring resolution to what's right for this building and how can we build it, rehab it efficiently. The other factors that are stand before us that we do not control at this moment is that the final construction bids, when we finish the construction drawings, it's pretty music. When we finish our construction drawings, we'll actually bring them to the street to price them. That'll be final construction bidding, so we don't know what that looks like, but that'll be later or in the future. The final permitting process, we haven't submitted to the city yet our plans, and of course, that's an iterative process that requires comments and review, which may lead to additional costs, unlikely leads to less costs. And then the investor and lender pricing. What is the street going to price this investment opportunity? Is it at what we think it's going to be, or is it going to be less or more? So again, stay tuned, but we'll try to do our best to bring you the best information that we have. And that's what we're doing this evening, is presenting the best information that we have for you to deliberate on and make your decision. We have done some things to sharpen the pencil and reduce costs. We were considering solar thermal domestic heating for the property. That has been deleted. We're now considering photovoltaic. And so it's more energy efficient and begets a possibility of some energy grants, whereas solar thermal does not. We're going to simplify the heating and cooling system for the property. We've deleted already a couple of things, a west-facing roof deck for the residents, and we've deleted the possibility of expanding the front entryway with a deck. These are here to show you, this is the third floor. This is the common space for the residents. This is what exists today, outlined in blue. And so you can see it's partitioned in the way that it is. But what's more helpful is this next one, which is the blue again here is all the space that the residents will enjoy. It has been expanded from the earlier floor plan I just showed you by 400 square feet. So we're going to deliver more space for the residents to enjoy. 400 square feet. If you need an analog, that's a two-car garage. So it's a lot of space. And then we're also reconfiguring the management office. That's in the purple. As you can see, most space is going to be available for the residents to enjoy. And throughout this process, we have focused on the residents. We're, you know, very proud of the fact that our residents are finding good places to live. We're not pressuring them. We've got consistent relocation consulting helping us with them. And we will continue on that process again with hopeful that we'll place the 11 remaining residents by March of 2026. We add this because, as you know, as you gaze throughout Oakland, there's some beautiful art that adorns some of our larger buildings and some smaller ones. And so there's an opportunity here with Harrison Tower to do the same thing. So on the south face, on the north face, as depicted here in the red dashed line, we hope to consider inviting some artists to give us their best ideas and maybe on these north and south elevations as shown here, but also on the front elevation, there's opportunity here to bring a new face, if you will, at streetscape grade, human scale to this property. So we intend to do that. And it is staff's recommendation that the board give consideration to approval of the $7 million request, also authorize the director to take what necessary actions to subdivide the property to enable us to move forward with a tax credit application. So that is staff's recommendation, supported here by Denny and Isabel. If you have any questions, we're prepared to answer your questions, as well with the John Stewart team behind me. They're here to help. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Deloitte. Are there any questions or any comments from the commission? Go ahead.
Yeah, my one question is, of the 18 that are left, five are moving soon. What will all of the residents eventually leave?
Yes, ma'am. And actually, at the time that this was published, we've had additional families relocate. So now we have 11 families remaining here in the building. We are working to assist all the families to relocate during this time. A few may opt to permanently relocate, but at this time, the idea is for them to be temporarily relocated. And then once the facility is completed, they will all have an opportunity to choose to come back.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. So, and I'm sorry.
So some of those that have already moved and have moved into newer units so they're probably just gone and won't come back.
It's kind of an assortment. We have families that moved into let our team member, Denny, would you like to describe where our families have been assisted with?
Sure. Thank you for the question. Denny Adania, I'm a senior program manager with the Office of Real Estate Development. So a large number of our residents have actually volunteered or have accepted offers to move to Oak Grove and Adelcourt, two of our other senior properties. No one has moved to the other two senior properties that we have in our portfolio, but there have been quite a few, 30 plus residents or seniors have moved to other OHA properties. The others have moved to an assortment of either in with family, some have moved to, other subsidized housing in the Bay Area. Some have ported out and have moved to other public housing. There's one in Hawaii. There's another one in Santa Clara County. But a large number of the folks that are moving, that have moved offsite, have moved to privately owned properties, mostly in Chinatown. The vast majority of residents would like to stay within this neighborhood near their community, near their shops and restaurants and pharmacies and that sort of thing. So of the 11 who remain, There are a handful that are interested in waiting for openings that come up at Oak Grove Apartments, either north or south. And then the rest are, you know, looking when they can and with our assistance to find alternative housing in the marketplace. And they're all assisted with our tenant protection vouchers, which are essentially Section 8 HCDs.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Denny. And I should mention that and whenever we do a relocation for a major rehab, the teams, and it's often our real estate team, our asset management team, our leased housing team, our FCP team, it's a collective effort to provide support to families. In this case, because there was a moving target for us to apply for tax credits, it allowed us to have, I think, a little bit more time and grace and give residents as much options as possible as we move closer to the ability of putting in the application. There may come a point where we're going to not be able to let residents kind of wait for a unit to open up, and we'll have to help them select something that's available at a point in time. We're not quite there yet. We've got a couple of months, but it's allowed us to be really gracious on this relocation effort. And I should mention for families who are relocated that Denny described, they continue to be able to access services and supports by reaching out to the team. So I just want to mention that once relocated, we don't forget to make sure that they get all the services that are available to them. So much appreciation and thanks to our relocation partnership and, of course, the collective OHA team under Ms. Adonai's project management skills.
Okay. Thank you. It's been a while. That's why I wanted to. 2017, now 2023, we're back again. So, okay. Thank you. Okay.
Commissioner Castillo?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I didn't want to guess of what you said on page. Well, it's timeline of Board of Commissioners actions under April 5th, 2023. My guess is when you said $40 million delta, it was a term I didn't recognize. Does that mean that's how much difference it was between tearing her down and putting her back up again? Is that what $40 million delta means?
Pardon me, Commissioner Castillo, you are bingo correct. Yes, okay. I'm sorry. That was the
it
difference.
It was a cool term, and I just, I'm like, I'm going to guess that, but I'm going to ask, too.
You got it, and you can use it, but thank I'm sorry. You didn't get it in the first round, but yes.
It was the funding gap.
Yes, the funding gap.
Oh, that was between, because that's why we decided to rehabilitate it.
And that was at a point in time. If memory serves me, at the point in time that delta, if you will, is identified, the trending for the cost per unit for rehab and new development was a much different number than it is today.
Yes.
So one of the continued moving targets is that as time proceeds, mm-hmm. so does cost.
Oh, I'm sure it does. Yeah. By millions of dollars, I would think. Thank you. Thank you. This answer is really short, but I noticed in one of the photos, is there a laundry room on every floor or just the third? Just the third for the whole building?
Just the third for the whole building, but we are adding more washers and dryers.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. The other one I was curious about, and this could be something that we might have considered, the facade and the paint and the color is very dated. And I see that you have public art going up, which is great, and I know the cost is astronomical, but is there any more work that's going to be done on the facade?
We are, we've included new painting. So there's color schemes that we've been evaluating and talking about with the architect and their color consultants. We will also be, and that includes the railings. So there'll be sort of we're not changing the materials mm-hmm. or we're not doing any sort of major architectural changes to the nature of the building itself, but it will look different with a very different color scheme and a very different kind of the way that we treat the railings also is going to be very different.
Oh, wonderful. I wasn't clear that the external painting was in the scope mm-hmm. of work.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the mm-hmm. consultants are putting together options mm-hmm. okay. that the ad hoc committee that the chair has appointed will be part perhaps even with some residents part of that decision process. That's our trending when we're doing rehabs at different properties, is that we like to get folks who live at the property as mm-hmm. well as our leadership involved. So stay tuned.
I that's going to be wonderful when it's done. My last question is also, one of your photos brought up the fact that we have another senior building on the corner, and they might be affected by the commotion going on here. And I was curious if we have open communication, we're talking to them, letting them know what's going to be happening, just to kind of make sure they'll be okay throughout the whole process. Is that happening?
It hasn't happened yet, but yes, they are. Yeah, they're an active neighbor. They are directly, almost touching next door. This is the Harrison Senior with Christian Church Homes.
Yes.
So we will very much be in touch with them and sort of coordinate on noise and, sort of construction nuisance mitigation matters.
Please.
Of course.
Yeah. Thank you, Denny. Actually, Chair Griffith and I sit on the board of directors for that community. So we'll be giving a presentation to them when we get closer to the launch time. And we are also in communication with our neighbors to the back of us on a routine basis as a part of the business district. So we will definitely, when we get closer, be able to update folks on what to expect.
Oh, that's good. I'm very happy to hear that. Thank you so much.
Yes,
that
ma'am.
That completes my questioning, Chair. Thank you.
Do we have any other commissioner questions or comments? I just want to say I always appreciate the comments or questions by my colleagues. So thank you. I keep asking them. I also want to submit that maybe this item and the next items should be contenders for the longest titles of some of our items. I'm not exactly sure who's keeping track of that, but I would like to submit those for that category. Otherwise, I would be willing to entertain a motion. I'm not turning your mic on.
Sorry about that. This is Commissioner Dardis. I move approval to authorize the amendment to process the $17 million loan.
Great. Is there a second?
I second Commissioner Chung Lee.
Are there any additional questions? Hearing none. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, the motion carries. I forgot. I'm trying to add my question that I'm.
She's getting better and better.
Let's see. Are there any members of the public wishing to address the board regarding this item?
No, Chair.
Great. Then the motion carries unanimously. I am going to learn this. It may take a while, but I am going to learn this. So this moves us to item
7.2.
Thank you, Chair. Item 7.2 is an action item. It reads to adopt a resolution approving a conditional commitment of moving to work funds in an amount not to exceed $9 million to fund the cost to design, engineer, rehabilitate, and otherwise execute the seismic retrofit of the Oakland Housing Authority's administrative offices located at 1619 Harrison Street, Oakland, as part of the Harrison Tower Section 18 disposition project, subject to the National Environmental Policy Act, also known as NEPA, and California Environmental Quality Act, also known as CEQA approvals, as applicable, authorizing the subdivision of the property to facilitate the rehabilitation and authorizing the executive director to negotiate and enter into such documents as are necessary to execute the work and subdivide the property. Again, this item has been long awaited and builds upon the previous item. Here to present, again, is our team, led by Mr. Tom Deloy, Chief Officer of Real Estate, supported by Denny Adonai, our Senior Project Manager for this beautiful property, and supported by our Development Council, Ms. Isabel Brown of Goldfarb and Littman. And I again acknowledge our partners this evening who have joined us, President of JSCO Development, Margaret Miller, and our Director of Development, Mr. Don Lusty. Mr. Deloy, sir.
Thank you very much, Executive Director Wells. Commissioners, good evening. Tom Deloy, Chief Officer of Real Estate Development. Happy to have the opportunity to present this action item to you this evening. Like the earlier action item, this matter was discussed at the Standing Committee of Real Estate on November 18th. It is now addressing the commercial portion of the tower, the mixed-use tower. It is our administrative, proudly, our headquarters. It is 39,000 square feet, as you know. It includes this boardroom. It includes very nice offices with conference rooms and kitchens and so on and so forth, so we can conduct the important business of the Housing Authority. It was completed in its state in 2019-2020, but there was one important chapter that was missing. And the important chapter that was missing that we intend to improve upon and update through this rehabilitation is that the voluntary seismic retrofit was not done. And so the largely behind this request tonight is making sure that we bring those betterments to the commercial space, betterments that include new columns, new shear walls, thickening of this, strengthening of the property. And as you know, it's kind of foundational because the commercial office space sits beneath the apartments. And the only source for financing this is MTW Reserve. There's no tax-exempt bonds, no 4% tax credits available. It is MTW resources that will be available. Like in the earlier...
Thank you, Mr. Deloy. Yeah. I note I wanted to add that as the source of fund for MTW, because the executive office is part of the commercials, actually govern the entire Housing Choice Voucher Program and public housing program, it allows us to utilize MTW funds for the seismic life safety rehab of the building. So I wanted to make sure that I acknowledge that use of funds for the commercial piece under MTW and looking to our Chief of Social Impact to see if there's anything else I would add to providing that nexus point. Nope. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Executive Director Wells. To continue, I'm on page 3 of the slide deck before you is like the earlier action item, a sources schedule and a uses schedule. Like the earlier action item, we also have known costs, which is the first line item, the requests of $7,115,136 with a contingency request coupled with that, because again, this is a future action, future construction, and we want to have a cushion available to us to make sure that we're capturing the costs and the scope of work that's required to bring the voluntary seismic retrofit to the commercial space of the tower. And then below, of course, is the uses related to that capital stack. So $9 million of sources, $9 million of uses, including a contingency. The drivers, like in the earlier action item, will be structural engineering changes as we bring clarification and betterment to the design, the structural retrofit design. The final construction bids, again, we're at a certain level of our design development drawings. We need to perfect that and bring them to closure, and that will be likely in June of next year. And like the earlier action item, we will submit this to the city. We will go through a round of comments and hopefully bring satisfaction to their review and, of course, final closure to the drawings. And then investor and lender pricing. That's a curious one. Why is that on the slide, Tom? Glad you asked. Because while this is being directly funded, we hope after you give approval by MTW Reserves, the reason it's impacted by the pricing on the residential tower is because they're intertwixably connected. It's an integrated. So when we go through the schedule of values and a pro forma or the construction budget, and we look at these things in detail, we have to assign ratios as to which portion is for the residential and which will be submitted as eligible basis in the tax credit application, and which elements are solely commercial, et cetera. So if one of those line item changes, and one of the line items, as I earlier identified, is what is the equity pricing going to bring? What is that going to yield for the residential tax credit portion of the project? If that misbehaves, or however that behaves, because they're intertwixably connected, these two, that's why there might be input or domino effect or collateral effect to the commercial. So I just want you to know that because this is one project, part of which is going to be funded by tax credit and part of it funded by MTW reserves, We're going to go through that level of detail, and that's how I know at this moment that they are connected, very well connected. Denny or Isabel, if you want to add to that. No? Okay. All right, next slide is earlier, the cost of the renovation for the commercial space in this tower, as said earlier, was completed in 2020 at the cost of $10,730,000. And it is beautiful office space, to be sure. But now it didn't include that chapter, as I earlier identified, as seismic retrofit, and we're projecting that to cost $9 million, inclusive of a $1.8 million contingency. So together with the earlier residential, we looked at this slide earlier. It was the 10. So this is the residential, just bringing that to the four. So for easier recollection, it was the August of 2023, $10 million gap. It was the project-based vouchers totaling 100 with a present value of $57,240,000. It was the current request for seven, so $74,240,000. So we take that number, we carry it forward, and we say, okay, the residential piece is $74,240,000. This commercial piece in total is $19,730,000. In total, should you approve tonight's request for the commercial, it would be $93,970,441 as invested dollars in the Harrison Tower property. It does not include, footnoted in the below, that there is a lot of staff time involved in this property, and we haven't quantified that to put into this chart. But if you were to take a look at the total investment, it certainly is larger because of the staff time and over many years. So I just wanted to point that out. So it is staff's recommendation that the board give consideration to approval of this $9 million request to include the structural retrofit of the commercial portion of the rehab project known as Harrison Tower, and also to allow the executive director to do what is necessary to participate in the subdivision to allow us to move forward on every element of the project. Staff is here to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Deloy and team. I wanted to ask if there was anything you wanted our partners to be able to add at this time, or if not, I think they're okay with just listening to the Board of Commissioners.
Don or Margaret, the floor is available to you should you wish to add anything. If you do, wave your hand.
You want
Thank
to come
you.
Off
Please then? Join us up at the okay. podium.
No, hold on. There you go.
Okay, I'm learning my way around this place. Margaret Miller, President of Development and Chief Real Estate Officer at the John Stewart Company. I really don't have anything of substance to add. Denny and Tom have covered it all, but just wanted to introduce ourselves again. We were here, I think it was June, when we were formally selected. We've been working closely with the team, really honored to be part of this project. We've done a number of projects like this. This is pretty consistent with what we're seeing across the board. As you get more information, you come back and you have these details. And unfortunately, it typically means some level of cost escalation. So it's consistent with what we've seen across our portfolio. We're available, of course, if you have any detailed questions, and look forward to breaking ground on this exciting project. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us and coming out to both you and Don this evening and supporting our presentation to our Board of Commissioners. And I would add, Commissioners, that the investment that we're proposing for the commercial for this property is added to investments that we are doing at the other commercial properties here on Harrison Street, which will give us options for not just providing awesome workspace for the staff team that are dedicated to the work of the Housing Authority, but stay tuned as we think of also opening up space for nonprofits and other groups to be able to join us here downtown. So stay tuned for that as we get closer. And that work is being led by our Director of Capital Improvements Department, Mr. Bruce Brackett, with advisement from different members of the team. And that, Chair, concludes our staff report.
Thank you, entire team, including our friends at John Stewart. Do we have any questions or comments from the board? Go ahead.
I appreciate the thorough
presentations that you have given. I do have a question, as Director Wells brought up the rehab of other properties to accommodate. So my question was, especially as you described, this is one project, and I assume the same schedule, or at least during construction. Does this include the cost for prepping the property across the street for staff to be relocated? Or that is a separate amount?
Commissioner, great question. I'll try to answer it as best I can. First, this tower is one project, one general contractor. So it will be happening at the same time. And so as we've properly focused on the safe residential relocation, the staff here will also have to relocate to across the street. But the budget to make that happen is carried somewhere else. It's not in these numbers.
Okay.
And so it's a capital budget outside of the request for this evening.
And it's autonomous in that we had plans to prepare the other commercial properties for staffing, irregardless of our work here at Harrison Towers. It's serendipitous that it's now available for us to relocate staff during the relocation time. And that's when I talked about stay tuned for other opportunities. It was always the plan that until we are at an opportunity where some of those sites could allow for the development of additional residential, that those would be office space for staff teams, being able to consolidate different departments so everyone can be in the same space together, as well as offer opportunity for hubs for nonprofit organizations. So those budgets are actually carried in our operating capital budget for the property that you approve annually.
All right. Okay.
Can I add a light of hope to this whole thing, which is if there's approval and we are successful with the award, again, we're applying in September. The award is December. Well, prior to December of next year, the same time, the same bat channel next year, we will no longer be in this property.
Okay.
Staff will not be. We will relocate, which means I know you'll miss the dais that you're sitting behind. We'll have to be creative and figure out how to do a December meeting next year. That's with my fingers crossed that we get an award, because we will know after application how we look in the scoring, in the preliminary scoring. And that will trigger our thoughts as to, okay, if we're thinking positively and rewarded with a good score, which will lead to an award in December, we will have to make decisions at that point in time, fourth quarter of 2026. So that's my hope.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah. Our hope.
All right. Thank you.
If there are no other questions or comments, I would entertain a motion.
I would be happy to move the adoption of the resolution for $9 million, of moving to work funds for the seismic retrofit of the administrative offices.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Are there any last comments? You have a.
We're gonna probably do a roll call vote for this one.
Excuse me. I am going to remember one of these days. Secretary Wells, are there any members of the public wishing to address the board regarding this item?
We have none, Chair.
Oh, thank you. Now, we're doing a roll call. Is that what I heard? Okay, great.
Okay. Chair Griffith?
Aye.
Commissioner Castillo?
Aye.
Commissioner Jung Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Montgomery?
Aye.
Commissioner Mays?
Aye.
Commissioner Dardis?
Aye.
Thank you. The motion carries unanimously.
And I want to give a public thank you and a note of appreciation to our guests this evening.
Just having a quick pause there. But now we'll move on to item 7.3.
Thank you very much. Item 7.3. is also an action item and an acknowledgement of the role of the Housing Authority in the investment of preservation of affordable housing here in our great city. It's being proposed through an action item, which is to adopt a resolution authorizing a loan of up to $60 million in moving to work funds to Oakland Affordable Housing Preservation Initiatives for pre-development and construction financing. Construction financing for the rehabilitation of the OPI portfolio in the City of Oakland, and authorizing the executive director to execute all documents necessary to provide this loan. For this item and the one following it, you have yours truly doing the presentation, since these are innovative action items that I'll be presenting to you today. In December of 2024, just 1 year ago today, the board approved a grant to Oakland Affordable Housing Preservation Initiatives for the purpose of providing seed investment to redevelop 13 properties that have been selected as having high potential for redevelopment that could result in the addition of units to the OPI portfolio. These 13 properties were selected through our OPI board's strategic planning effort for the entire portfolio of 255 properties for OPI, providing 1,500 plus units of affordable housing. At that time, the idea was to focus solely on the priority sites for redevelopment that were established through the work of our partners, Lassar Development, Urban Focus Partners, and Urban Planning Partners, with assistance from PIATOC, to determine the those sites that we could amplify the best and optimal use for those properties. But in the meantime, there are 240 other properties that our Oakland Housing Authority team, as a management company to OPI, have been working on. Those properties in the past year have, under the OPI budget, received the attention of our capital improvements department, working with other vendors to do rehab in our normal course of business. It's been a very enlightening activity in that, as the team has proceeded to do what we'll call major renovation of units, they've identified what you would expect for properties that are 60 years old and counting and had minimal investment due to the funding when they were public housing, and then our transition to project-based Section 8. And in general, we found major needs for structural replacement of everything from unit laterals to the replacement of balconies, as well as parking spaces to adhere to new laws on the requirement of seismic rehab. And the team led by Bruce Brackett in partnership with Mark Schifferl took two properties who had several units that needed this modernization offline. And we did what we'll call total necessary modernization of the building. So it went beyond just deferred maintenance, but rather facilitating a modernization of the property that included roofing, structural, as well as the internal units, masonry work, everything that would bring these properties up to a standard that made them comparable to market rate affordable housing, or market rate housing, and also to preserve and expand the lifetime of those communities. In those efforts, we are seeing a trending of a cost of rehab similar to the earlier presentation on Harrison Towers, of upwards to unit costs that could exceed $300,000 a unit to get these properties sustainable and up to a modernization that would continue to allow us to provide the most highest quality affordable housing here in the city. The $60 million loan that I'm proposing that the Oakland Housing Authority make in moving to work funds to OPI will allow the team to continue to do modernization. And I'm going to keep emphasizing not just repair,
but actually totally modernizing sites. So these will be sites we take offline, do full modernization to be able to sustain them and preserve them for more decades to come. And the selection process will be in tandem with our real estate team who's working with the strategy so that we're only modernizing those units that would not have a high potential for redevelopment and adding more units. So they'll stay pretty much consistent with the current unit structure. So if it's a 4-unit property with 3 bedrooms, most likely it will remain a 4-unit property with 3 bedrooms, but being modernized to be able to survive another, I'm saying 50 years, but that's 50 years, assuming that every 20 years we go back in and do some major remodeling. So this is an effort to provide OPI the ability to start that work, or I should say continue that work, because the team has already successfully been able to modernize 2 properties. We completed one at, I'll say, 70% scale that several of you have seen on our tour. The team is working on another one with that probably more appropriately meets a fully modernized unit. And I'm looking back at the team, and that's right off of 98th Avenue. So stay tuned, because once that's completed, we'll be offering opportunities to tour it. So that's the purpose of this loan. And I wanted to make sure that I walked the board through. It's different from last year's grant, which was focused on just 13 properties as seed money to be able to do rehabilitation of those properties. This is more to start plowing through those properties that will most likely, based upon the assessment being done in our strategy, maintain their current structure and be able to thrive. And if you have any additional questions on what that might look like, we've got coming up to the podium our interim chief of housing operations, John Gresley, and our director of capital improvements, Bruce Brackett, and our director of housing operations, Mark Schifferl, joining me up at the podium right now in case there are any questions. And with that, we're open to questions from our Board of Commissioners chair.
Thank you. Questions? Commissioner Dardis?
First of all, I totally support this. It's absolutely critical. I'm curious about what is the balance of funds in moving to work in that fund itself? And then as we aggregate these many requests, which are absolutely essential, what will that leave in terms of the remaining funds?
Thank you for that question. It's a moving target currently as of the last closeout of the fiscal year. It was roughly this amount. It was roughly about 120 plus 4 months of operating for the Housing Authority, which is standard. One of the goals is to provide the best and full use of these funds to be put back into the property. And that's what this effort allows us to do, is to reinvest the funds back into the property. So arguably, the balance of the funds should always be rotating so that we have it as an operating reserve per requirements by HUD, and be absolutely quickly putting the funds back into preservation and production. This meets one of those goals for this amount. And in the next action item, we have another way to put the money back into making sure that we're part of the solution for homelessness here in the city of Oakland. And with that, I didn't know if John Gresley is assisting with part of this strategy, if there's anything you wanted to add above what I've already explained.
Mark has to show me how this operates. I would just say that at the time that this portfolio was passed through disposition to OPI from the Housing Authority, it was already 30-some years old with very little reinvestment in capital improvements. I don't know the exact number, but I would say, I'm guessing, somewhere between a dozen and 20 of the sites have ever had a major reinvestment. And the first one I remember was in 1995. And that was when we received our first HOPE 6 grant, and we completely remodeled three of the scattered site developments. So that was 30 years ago. So in the field of affordable housing, often reinvestments are done around 20 years. So we're 10 years overdue for those. Now, I've been to those and they look wonderful. So maybe we don't have to do it every 20 years, but a lot of these sites have never received anything other than maintenance repairs and routine turnover at vacancies. So we're not up to date. We're competing with tax credit deals that you guys are involved in improving all the time. We want these properties to shine. We want them to be competitive. We want people to want to live in them. So we need to invest in them.
Thank you, sir. And one of the things I would add is in 2023, we did a physical needs assessment. And that physical needs assessment was simply to look at deferred maintenance. And at that time, at that point in time, the idea was $40,000 per unit for deferred maintenance and repairs. But that just kept the properties at their static level, rehabbing the interior of the unit. In this process and the pilot site that the team is working on, we actually are paying much attention to full structural, including the infrastructure that the property sits on, the land, the masonry, the infrastructure connection to the city of Oakland, and that gets you to a different price. So the goal is different. And even at the point in time for the physical needs assessment, and I'm looking at Mr. Brackett, I would say was modest in terms of what improvements that it pointed to for the units. Would that be correct, sir? Yeah. So this is about really making a difference for the community to thrive. And one of the things that we would note, Mr. Resley talked about competitiveness with tax credits. Our completed projects, and you've seen a couple of them, are absolutely competitive with neighboring property. In terms of look and appeal, we now want to make sure that structurally that also is the same. So thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wesley. Any other questions?
Commissioner Castillo.
Thank you, Chair. It's difficult for me to find the words to articulate the impact of what we're about to do. I have heard decades of decades of how housing authorities do not take care of their properties. And this is going to change the narrative. I'm not sure if we're going to get the media coverage that we deserve for this, but to be able to put aside and think of our scattered sites and our OP units and modernize them, because that's the key word, is extraordinary. For us in this time, in this climate, to say we will do this and we will put the dollars behind it, it's extraordinary. So I'm like so over the top to know that we're about to do this. I'm hoping to see timelines and and when did we get the 100th unit done? And just like all the wonderful steps that's going to take to make this happen. And let's applaud for just a moment what we're about to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for the affirmation of timelines and milestones. We talk a lot about that here in the team. I will tell you this will address a portion of the portfolio. One of the things that the team is still working on with our finance department and fund development consultants, certainly in tandem with our leased housing leadership and our MTW leadership, is how to plan ahead, because this is a multi-year endeavor. And when we celebrate the 1554th unit, we'll be back talking about unit number one. Because this is actually the course of business for operating affordable housing, I think, in the city. And we read about it all the time in the newspaper as projects, when they're coming up on 15 and 20 years, they struggle a little bit. We're trying to make sure that does not happen. So thank you for that affirmation on behalf of the team. And I'm sure that gave us all vitamins to be able to start get those plans in place in partnership with our real estate department under Mr. Deloitte's leadership to get the strategy and the plan going with dates and times. So thank you.
Thank you. And my final comment is perhaps we could document it well enough to teach it to other housing authorities who would like to take this up.
That would be amazing. It shall be done. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Do we have any additional questions or comments? I just want to say that your description reminded me of like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. Oh. Just like starting, you're done, you start all over again. Yep, that's how it works. Okay. I just want to make sure I'm getting the order right on these things. I think I'm actually asking for the motion first, yes? Anyone?
Commissioner Castillo will make the motion.
Is there a second?
Commissioner Dardis. Second.
Thank you. Secretary Wells, are there any members of the public wishing to address the board regarding this item?
We have none, Chair.
Thank you. Are we doing another roll call?
Okay. Chair Griffith?
Aye.
Commissioner Castillo?
Aye.
Commissioner Jung Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Montgomery?
Aye.
Commissioner Mays?
Aye.
Commissioner Dardis?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Just point of clarification, will we be doing them for all items? Yes.
Today.
Thank you. All right.
No. Thank you, gentlemen.
Are we moving into a new configuration? Are we ready?
Yes.
Great. This takes us to item 7.4.
Thank you. Item 7.4 is also an action item, authorization of the formation of a California nonprofit public benefit corporation to be named Oak Leading Edge Affordability Fund, which, just for the purposes of today's conversation, we're going to abbreviate to Oak Leaf. That's not the final acronym necessarily. As a tax-exempt supporting organization of the Oakland Housing Authority to support the affordable housing preservation and expansion of affordable housing activities of the Oakland Housing Authority by creating and administering an affordable housing fund and authorization of the executive director to execute all documents necessary to effectuate the formation of Oak Leading Edge Affordability Fund. And I want to make that as a, it might be necessary, and I'm asking council, do I want to make sure that I articulate that in the resolution on the authorizing language? Because,
yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Commissioners, I will also be presenting this. You'll note that I'm joined by part of the team that has helped us somewhat get to this space, including our Director of Finance, Mr. Victor Madamba. In terms of idea generation, our interim chief of housing operations, Mr. John Gresley, and I'm going to invite up at the table our counsel on this endeavor, Ms. Isabel Brown from Goldfarb and Lippman. What are we doing here? Well, when we look in the trending for the last couple of years, we will note that the Housing Authority has stepped in through several of our innovative products under NTW, the RAS funding, the use creatively of project-based Section 8 to help gap fund projects that have been supported by our City of Oakland and our state in financing, the Housing Authority stepping in often to do acquisition assistance for different projects. We've realized that that endeavor, while being very helpful, didn't necessarily accelerate the ability for the Housing Authority to do this work. In consultation with several of our consultants, doing a comparison to work being done by other entities, including the San Francisco Accelerated Fund, we've realized that the establishment of a tax-exempt public corporation would allow us to expedite the ability to step in to projects that will meet particular standards. Basically, we're looking at projects that just need a little bit of assistance, like we did in RAS, to get across the line to be able to do preservation and production projects that have already been supported by another public entity through a procurement process. This tax-exempt organization will be a subsidiary of the Housing Authority with a board appointed and affirmed by our Board of Commissioners. In the idea behind this, the idea is to create a dedicated team to help respond to requests through a request for proposals that will be put out in the street so that we're doing our own procurement and making sure that there is a system in place to be able to provide funding to projects that meet, as I said, certain standards, and also do it in a more energy efficient, energy meaning staff energy efficiency, with the goal of getting projects across the table that will be a part of the solution for addressing homelessness here in our city. So the goal is to really be a more, to continue the role we have played, but to push forward and embrace and enhance the role that we played in addressing homelessness. The structure of this corporation, I'm going to see if Ms. Brown wants to add anything about explaining to our board the structure of the nonprofit. And then all of us are available to answer any questions on how the fund will be managed. And we're at the beginning stages of putting it together, but I think Mr. Madama will be able to answer some basic questions on how we'll be managing the funds. Ms. Brown?
Yep. Good evening, commissioners. So this entity that we're creating will be a California nonprofit public benefit corporation formed under California's nonprofit law. At the same time, we'll also seek tax exemption under the federal law, under 501c3. So it'll be a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. That is not an unusual structure. That is how the San Francisco Housing Accelerator Fund is structured. And we saw this, you know, looked at the way they were doing, trying to get money out the door to developers who needed it, and saw that they had partnered with the city of Oakland and thought that that seemed like a really good way for the a model for the Housing Authority to follow. And so we can form this nonprofit, you know, once you approve, or if you decide to approve this, and then we will then go seek that tax exemption, which will revert back to the time of formation of this entity.
Thank you so much. And we're available for any questions that you might have.
Thank you, team. Do we have any of those questions? Any comments? Go ahead.
Commissioner Darris, I just want to clarify. So the affordable housing projects that would be eligible for these resources, they could be projects that are sponsored by a government agency, or the project must evidence that there is local or state public funds in the financing.
The model that we're looking at will be very similar to the Accelerator Fund, in that the board in planning will come up with standards. What we've seen in assistance that the Housing Authority has provided is it'll be two-part, that they're at a certain milestone in a development project that we understand is necessary for affordable housing, that yes, probably will include successful funding from other entities, either state, county, or city funds. But the project will also have standards, and it's at the early stages, so we'll be coming up with standards with the committee as identified by the board of what it will be necessary to meet, including, I should have added, adherence to the Oakland Housing Authority's real estate development policy, as well as the real estate development priorities. And after meeting those requirements, successfully submit an application to our request for proposal. So it'll be two-part. You have already had to gone through some of the process to be able to be eligible to apply. And then at that process on the selection, we'll be looking for projects that will meet some sort of timeline, kind of similar to a tax credit program, of being able to launch work on the property so that we can accelerate completion of the project. So the idea is that the project's able to move along and be able to start breaking ground, if you will, within probably 6 months. Mm-hmm. But part of the nuances of those are not yet developed because we're at the front end of the formation of the nonprofit. And I don't know if Isabel, there's anything else to add to that.
And also key, the affordability. They'll have to support people who are earning equal to or less than 80% AMI, mm-hmm. consistent with MTW requirements.
Thank you.
And then I have a second question. So when I was reading the item, am I to understand that this first $60 million is almost like seed funding because the goal is to grow it to being a much more, a larger fund?
We're not there yet, but I will, yes, that will be the goal. That's the next action item. This is actually just the formation of the nonprofit itself.
Got it.
Yeah.
And then I have a question related to that because it's all together. I'm just really curious.
Yes, ma'am.
Which is just simply this, is that once this fund is established, would the activities of either making pre-development grants or recoverable loans, et cetera, would that activity only begin after the full amount of the fund has been raised?
That is a great question. And that is a nuance that my guess will come in as we establish the nonprofit itself and are able to successfully formulate the fund itself. And so stay tuned. You're helping me to know that this will be an item that we'll be providing updates to the board on as we proceed further. But the great question, and thank you for that, because I know the staff team wrote it down.
Great, go ahead.
I'm trying to understand the accelerator model.
Mm-hmm.
Is the fund primarily for those projects that are just on the verge of implementation?
That's the goal. And the reason why we're formulating it to that pretty high bar is because of what we've noticed in watching the success of Home Key projects, one of which we celebrated today, the success of projects that we know, some that we're already a part of. It's that final gap piece, mm-hmm. that keeps them often going back to different other application process, state funding, for example. And so the goal is a loan, and this will be a loan product, so that to the point raised earlier by Commissioner Daughters, that it continues to feed itself so that it can continue, hopefully in perpetuity. And that's part of the model that we're still working out, because that will probably also include bringing in funding sources over and above the MTW funds that are the seed money.
All right. Sounds great. Glad you all had the idea.
Thank you for that. This was definitely a team effort that, as I mentioned, included the staff leadership team, including the three that you see at the table and others that are in the audience, and some consultant teams, and a lot of engagement with other entities that are doing similar work, like, as I said, San Francisco, but also watching how the city has materialized some of their efforts. So we realized as we looked at the PIT count, did a lot of studying on what the need is, that we're trying to be a part of the solution more quickly. And this is our attempt to do it in a more creative way than just the Housing Authority doing the work, which is a bit more of a slower process.
Thank you, team, as well as commissioners, for all of your questions and comments.
Go ahead. There was more question and comment.
I apologize. Please. I was listening to my fellow commissioners, and they actually hit on some of the questions that I had. That setting up a nonprofit takes time, though, right? It's months in the making, if I'm not mistaken.
So actually forming the nonprofit is relatively quick. We can do that in a day.
Wow.
Yeah, there's expedited filing, and you can do that in a day. The thing that takes time is getting the 501c3.
Okay.
But once you apply for a 501c3, which makes you exempt, that exemption can go all the way back to the time that the nonprofit was formed. So the feds say, okay, you formed your nonprofit in December, mm-hmm. and we gave you your exemption in March the next year. Mm-hmm. Well, we're actually going to say that retroactively applies to the time you were formed in December. So it relates back is what they call it. So long as you get it within like 27 months of forming your entity. So, and that's something that the Housing Authority has done with other nonprofits that it has formed. You form it and then you go get your exemption and it relates back.
Wonderful.
To the time.
When will you need to form the committee, the board committee, in order to seat?
So right now, the incorporator, the mm-hmm. The person who signs as the incorporator is just either me or Director Wells.
Director Wells.
Either of us can sign as the incorporator of that corporation. And then once we incorporate it,
yeah.
then we would have a meeting of that.
And form the board. And,
correct. Figure out what that board structure is going to look like. It'll probably look very similar to other housing authority nonprofits such as RAMP.
Well, this is great. I'm glad that we have a model that has done this before us so that we could look at challenges and successes for the San Francisco project. I think my other question is about how does this affect the other ways that we support our nonprofit partners? It's not going to take over that process. It's that we're going to still do it both ways. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the numbers, this is just one piece in the puzzle.
Okay.
And everything is pointing to the fact that it's just getting more and more expensive as we've heard this evening.
Yeah.
And, there's some, I could sort of geek out on the way that tax credits are now going to be done, where it's a 25% test. And, there's going to be a lot more need for public money for affordable housing going forward.
Okay.
So, I think we're trying to follow what's been done before, but also try and think a little bit outside the box to mm-hmm. see what we can do to accelerate these projects that are just need that little extra to get over that their barriers.
Wonderful.
And you asked, to also address that question, the way the Housing Authority has shown up, which has been tremendous during the last 20 plus years of MTW, mm-hmm. I would remind us that we have a board approved goal of project basing, which is typically how we show up. 50% of our allocation, which is just a little bit above 13,000 vouchers. Okay. There are 13,000 vouchers. We're above 40% now. And so the commitments that we've made to date are in the pipeline, if you will, of both Housing Authority projects as well as the projects for our partners. Hence, some of the NTW innovations like RAS, in order to help projects differently. It's the benefit of NTW, which charges us to do innovation and to create alternative ways to provide assistance for affordability in our jurisdiction, mm-hmm. in this case, the city of Oakland. And we've done tremendous work. We are at a space because of the expense and the need is so vast of creating a different model that doesn't just rely on project-based vouchers.
Yeah,
and so that was my next this question. This is our attempt to do that. So soon we will still be, those vouchers will be in projects, but they're a finite number until we are able to champion the federal government to provide us a couple thousand more. So yes, I did say that to Mike. In this case, we're trying to improve efficiencies, which is one of our goals on MTW by creating the 501c3 to be able to focus solely on doing that work in a way different from the traditional way of just providing project-based vouchers. So that's what makes this exciting. It is also, in as it is in any innovation, we'll be learning as we go along, and we'll be also learning from other partners and other models of how to do it efficiently and effectively. So, but this is what MTW charges us with, is testing new approaches.
I
I don't want to miss anyone else. Does anyone else have questions or comments? I just want to echo what folks have said. It really just warms my heart that this agency has the creativity and the courage to meet the moment that we're in, not only nationally, but especially in the city of Oakland, with respect to the challenge of housing our friends who are currently unhoused. And the way in which this team has really dedicated itself to using the MTW's MTW resources in a way that is directly connected with its purpose, and to use the value that we have as an agency to really maximize the opportunity in the city. So I know I'm really just saying the same thing, but I wanted to add my voice to that.
Of course.
Thank you, Chair. May I take a moment to affirm, I just looked at a member of the audience who made me think about something. I wanted to affirm how this connects to NTW. And in our 2026 Moving to Work, Making Transitions Work Standard Agreement and our plan for 2026, we note in there the use of MTW funds as contemplated is supported by and uses our single fund flexibility in activity number 0801, fund affordable housing development activities, to get the inspiration for creating the nonprofit and for the ability to do our next action item. And I believe you will see some additional ideas as we continue to bring updates. So I just wanted to state that publicly. Thank you.
If there are no additional questions or comments, I would entertain a motion to adopt the resolution as amended to remove the acronym of Oakleaf and to replace any references with the full name of Oak Leading Edge Affordability Fund.
Thank you.
Do we have to say all that?
No, you just have to you just have to move it. That's all that happens. As amended, just moved as amended.
I would like to, after that, I'd like to adopt the resolution for the corporation to be Oakleaf.
Oakleaf. Yeah. You mean the Oak Leading Edge Affordability Fund. Yes, that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Do we have a second to that amended motion? Amended resolution?
I'll second.
Great. Secretary Wells, are there any members of the public wishing to address the board regarding this item?
We have none, Chair.
Great. Then I will turn it over to get our roll call.
Chair Griffith?
Aye.
Commissioner Castillo?
Aye.
Commissioner Jung Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Montgomery?
Aye.
Commissioner Mays?
Aye.
Commissioner Dardis?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. It's a very exciting day. And this also takes us to item 7.5.
Thank you. Item 7.5 is an action item. It's to adopt a resolution authorizing the executive director to capitalize the Oak Leading Edge Affordability Fund up to $60 million in Moving to Work funds in order for Oakleaf to administer an affordable housing fund, and authorizing the executive director to execute all documents necessary to effectuate the funding of Oak Leading Edge Affordability Fund upon its formation. As we stated in our previous item, this now provides what we'll call the foundational platform funding for Oak Leading Edge Affordability Fund to be able to create the process for putting out a request for proposals to fund those affordable housing projects, both preservation and development, that are close to being ready to begin development activities within a certain set time to be determined, and have are recipients of other procured funding sources by another government entity
to accelerate the completion of the development projects so that additional units can be created to help address our homeless challenges here in the city of Oakland and help Oak Leading Edge Affordability Fund supporting the Oakland Housing Authority as being continuing to be part of the solution to address homelessness. Again, this item is supported by the Housing Authority's MTW approvals and our 2026 plan, activity number 0801, to fund affordable housing development activities. It is in alignment with the foundational requirement of MTW and the idea behind MTW to give housing authorities flexibility to design innovative ways to help low-income families become self-sufficient, reduce costs, and increase housing choices with different funding adjustments and testing new approaches to housing assistance. The goal here is to support Oak Leading Edge Affordability Fund to being able to put out opportunities for preservation and redevelopment projects to seek a loan. This will be loans that will be part of it's a hard loan to be able to move their projects forward. This funding is available currently in Moving to Work funds. And if approved, I'll be working with the staff team to activate the funding of Oak Leading Edge Affordability Fund up to $60 million to begin this endeavor. And we are here and available to answer questions you might have.
Thank you, team. I have a sense that many of the questions that might have been asked on this item were asked previously. Are there any additional questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adopt item 7.5 as amended again to remove Oak Leaf and to replace Oak Leaf with Oak Leading Edge Affordability Fund, both in the title and throughout the resolution. Is there a motion to adopt that resolution as amended for item 7.5?
This is Commissioner Dardis, and I'd like to move the item.
Great. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner. Can we get a roll call, please?
Chair Griffith?
Aye.
Commissioner Castillo?
Aye.
Commissioner Jung Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Montgomery?
Aye.
Commissioner Mays?
Aye.
Commissioner Dardis?
Aye.
Secretary Wells, are there any members of the public wishing to address the board regarding this item?
We have none, Chair.
Great. Then the motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Commissioners, for your support of these very innovative MTW items. And I also want to thank an incredible staff team, our collective council partners from Goldfarb Lipman, our consultants with EFW consulting firm, and the staff team, Mr. Gresley, Mr. Alzer, Mr. Madamba, Ms. Henderson, Mr. Deloy, Mr. Schifferl. And I did say our collective team of Ms. Brown and Ms. Brown of Goldfarb Lipman. So incredible endeavor that the team has been working on for a couple of weeks and in full throttle, especially Ms. Isabel Brown for the last couple of weeks. So I just wanted to acknowledge this team publicly and thank the board for your support.
So this takes us to item 7.6.
Thank you. 7.6 is an action item to adopt a resolution authorizing the executive director to execute a contract with Lau Family Community Development, also known as LFCD, to provide adult employment and training services to Oakland Housing Authority participants for an initial 2-year term and 3 additional 1-year terms.
for a total contract amount not to exceed $500,000. This again is an effort from the Oakland Housing Authority to provide fullest and best services. This action item is somewhat of a force multiplier to the work that the team is doing through other workforce development and self-sufficiency endeavors. And here to present on this item is our Chief Social Impact Officer, Ms. Dominica Henderson. She is joined by our Assistant Director of Family Community Partnerships, Ms. Faustina Mutata.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Dominica Henderson. I'm the Chief Social Impact Officer for OHA. And so I wanted to just introduce this item because, as promised a couple of months ago, we have had a number of requests to execute contracts from the Family and Community Partnerships Department to deliver high quality service opportunities and resource delivery to OHA residents. And so this is another one of those contracts that we took some time to identify the best and optimal partner for this type of work and an expert in the field. And so I would like to hand off the presentation to Assistant Director of Family and Community Partnerships, Faustina Mututa, to provide a little bit of background and some clarity on the driver of this this procurement, and then be available to answer any questions should you have them.
Right. Good evening, Board of Commissioners. Thank you, Chief Henderson. Faustina Mututa, Assistant Director of Family and Community Partnerships. So for your review and consideration is a resolution authorizing the Executive Director to execute a contract with Lau Family Community Development, Inc. to provide adult employment training services to support the self-sufficiency goals of OHA participants. OHA Contract Compliance and General Services Department issued a request for proposal earlier this year. Six companies responded by the third deadline extension in March 2025. The evaluation panel, comprised of four individuals, completed its review of the proposals, and four companies scored a rating of 75 or higher, which prompted interviews between the panel and each of the four companies. The panel recommended awarding a contract to Lau Family Community Development, the highest ranked firm. Lau Family will utilize its headquarters as the primary hub for full employment training services and maintain an active presence at the West District office. They will provide weekly on-site orientations for prospective participants and conduct quarterly career resource and job fair events. We anticipate assisting 30 adults each year, hopefully more. The adult employment training program aligns with OHA's multi-year strategic goal number 3, which is sustained, impactful, and human resident services, community engagement, and community safety programs. Lau Family is a trusted, local, diversified, nonprofit community development corporation offering human social services, health, housing, and community economic development programs. Their mission is to advance the economic mobility, health, and well-being of diverse communities through culturally informed supportive services using a comprehensive delivery model. It is staff recommendation that the Board of Commissioners authorize the Executive Director to execute a contract with Lau Family for an initial 2-year term and 3 additional 1-year option terms to provide adult employment training services to OHA participants for a total contract amount not to exceed $500,000. I would like to give a shout out to the FCP team, Jamie Manelang and Kalila Smith, as well as our colleagues in CCGS, Josh Robin and Jamie Alexander, for the collaborative efforts to get us here. So with that, thank you. And Chief Henderson and myself are here for questions.
Thank you, Assistant Director in Chief. That was excellent. And that concludes our staff report, Chair.
Thank you so much. Do we have any questions or comments from any commissioners?
Please.
Hello, thank you. Thank you, Chair. So this is going to be from our Union Street program. Is that where it's going to be based out of?
That's right. So we have currently the Oakland Private Industry Council is our Jobs Plus partner at the East District office.
Yes,
and
Jobs
so they,
Plus.
Yeah, so we have a Jobs Plus site at the East District office mm-hmm. that serves Lockwood, that serves the Lockwood Gardens community, but mm-hmm. Also because we are have the OPIC co-located there, they can assist other residents who would come into that office under not under the Jobs Plus program, but of course, but under their own Oakland PIC hat. And so we wanted to have similar types of services available out of our East District office.
Right.
So
right.
what
that's good.
What initially what we wanted is to have the program housed at East District. But I think what we found is that we were able to maximize the number of individuals that we could serve by relying on the community partner to be able to serve at their sites that are equipped for job search, for training, that have the space that is designed for workforce development programming and activities. And then they will conduct regular and sort of routine types of services on site at the West District office instead of being permanently housed there for the next 5 years. And so we hope to be able to have use the space that the and maximize the space that the vendor can provide so that we can serve more families and then have what are you calling them? Having sort of on-site resource fairs and interviews, sessions and workshops and things like that at our West District office. But the services will occur at the West District office exclusively.
That's really good. And it's 30 adults a year for the next 3 years? That's five. Your five. Minimum.
That's five. Your... That's a minimum. Yes, five for the next 5 years.
Yep. 30 for the next 30 five
for
years.
For each year.
Right. 30 every year.
Yes, a total of at 150 least. Families at a minimum.
Okay.
So if yes. we find...
Perfect. Yes.
Yes. So okay. it's 30 years per... 30 mm-hmm. how... excuse me, 30 individuals per year for the next 5 years, mm-hmm. total of 150 individuals. If we find that we have far more, and we hope that we have far more of the
people interested in this,
of participants coming out and being successful and needing the assistance, then I do believe that staff will be back to present a request for additional budget authority and authorization to increase the contract. But we wanted to start with a manageable number of households so that we could, you know, under promise and over deliver. And so mm-hmm. hopefully in the future, there will be a request for more.
Does this amount include stipends and maybe work boots and maybe assistance getting to work? So does it go further than paying for staff?
Yes, it's providing a whole comprehensive service to our participants who are interested to ensure that they get the support they need mm-hmm. to be successful and become self-sufficient as they're looking for employment.
So yes, this does include the paid stipend and sort of paid training. What I would like to say too is that we have the services that we have at East District office. This will be West District. We also have a youth employment contract that is active and on its way right now with Youth Uprising. So this is our sort of third leg of this employment stool that we're trying to make sure that we have adult, youth, and then also the Jobs Plus program really sort of launching us forward in terms of supporting economic development opportunities for OHA residents.
And have you had a conversation with Lau concerning the AI interception of employment? Like, we have to prepare our people for that. Have we talked about that with them?
I don't know that we brought that up yet, but thank you for that that piece of feedback. We'll definitely bring it to them. I think we want to make sure that our participants are prepared for the workforce mm-hmm. and are able to compete and be, mm-hmm. Ideal candidates that land jobs, but also retain them. That is really what we're trying to focus on, especially with our Jobs Plus program. And so we'll take that back because we want to make sure that we're preparing people to be, good participants in the workforce and good and offer skills that and expertise that are marketable for jobs.
Yeah, we need
now.
New models, modules of learning so that we can teach people AI. But yeah, thank you very much. This is exciting. Thank you.
Of course. Are there any other commissioner questions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adopt item 7.6. Is there a second?
I second.
Director Wells, Secretary Wells, are there any members of the public wishing to address the board regarding this item?
There are none, Chair.
I think I did that earlier.
You did good.
But that's okay. Can we get a roll call, please?
Chair Griffith.
Aye.
Commissioner Castillo.
Aye.
Commissioner Jen Lee.
Aye.
Commissioner Montgomery.
Aye.
Commissioner Mays.
Aye.
Commissioner Dardis.
Aye.
Well, since I put that in the wrong place, motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. This takes us to item 8, our consent agenda.
Thank you, Chair. Items on the consent agenda are considered routine and do not require separate discussion. If a commissioner wishes to have discussion or if a member of the public wishes to comment on any consent item, the item may be removed from the consent agenda and considered separately. Questions or clarifications may be considered by the commission without removal from the consent agenda. The consent agenda is adopted in one motion, and this evening's consent agenda is presented as stated in the agenda. There is one item.
Are there any questions or comments by the commissioners? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adopt the full consent agenda, item 8, of which there's only one item. Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion to adopt the consent item on the agenda.
Great. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Secretary Wells, are there any members of the public wishing to address the board regarding this consent agenda?
There are none, Chair.
Right. We get a roll call.
Chair Griffith.
Aye.
Commissioner Castillo.
Aye.
Commissioner Jung Lee. Commissioner Montgomery.
Aye.
Commissioner Mays.
Aye.
Commissioner Dardis.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Thanks. Let's go to item 9.
Thank you. Item 9 presents the department's monthly reports as presented by each of our directors for their portfolio. I'd like to highlight a couple of items for a few of our departments, starting with our Family and Community Partnerships Department. FCP proudly partnered with everyone on the national nonprofit to champion digital equity to bring a little tech magic to our residents. Together, the teams delivered a four-part digital literacy workshop series in which 31 residents completed the program, strengthening their digital skills and walking away not just empowered, but equipped with their own laptops. Ooh. Another highlight was in celebration of Fire Prevention Week. We sparked creativity by participating in the Housing Authority Insurance Group's 2025 Fire Safety Poster Contest. Several young artists participated in this endeavor. They all shined, and all three participatory youth from the Housing Authority were selected as winners, earning a cash prize. So congratulations to our respective artists. On December 17th, we'll be rolling out Holiday Cheer with the Oakland, and this is a joint presentation from also our police department and our Oakland Housing Authority Foundation in partnership with the 11th annual Winter Wonderland Extravaganza. Another one of our department highlights includes that from our asset management department, which if you go into their report, you'll note that our team with the leadership of Ms. Kadenaskaya and Ms. Talaz have a assortment of holiday celebrations for a multitude of faiths this December. And there's a listing of those celebrations in the Asset Management Department report. If any commissioner would like to attend, please let our assistant clerk of the board, Mr. Gaskin, know, and he can help connect you with the team so that you can enjoy those festivities with our residents at those different communities. This recent Saturday, and it'll be highlighted in my executive director report, the Oakland Housing Authority hosted our sixth annual Pancake Social, led by our Oakland Housing Authority Police Department in partnership with our Family Community Partnerships, Asset Management, Office of Real Estate Development, Office of Property Operations, and facilitated by our explorers this past Saturday. And you'll see some great photographs in my presentation. I want to acknowledge that we had several vendors assist with providing services to attendees, including the Alameda County Public Health Department, and several attendees enrolled in our free Wi-Fi offerings there throughout our portfolio. For our Policy Implementation and Compliance Department, also known as PIC, we've got a couple of great updates here, all associated with our work with the Oakland Housing Authority Foundation. For example, this past November, Nicole Thompson, director of the PIC department, was appointed as the president of the Oakland Housing Authority Foundation, which is largely supported by the Oakland Housing Authority employees, but also several nonprofit foundations providing funding to that endeavor. And her recent efforts in partnership with the chair of the Oakland Housing Authority Foundation board, Lieutenant Casey Mooningham, did two activities. First, we supported our council member president, Council Member Kevin Jacobs of District 6, on his second annual community turkey giveaway. Those be photos a bit in my presentation, in which 100 families received a Thanksgiving grocery bag ready to cook their delightful meal.
Nice.
We are also, the foundation is also in partnership with the Prescott Market, who's co-hosting a toy drive in partnership with the Oakland Metro Chamber of Commerce and the Oakland Building Alliance to support the Oakland Housing Authority Foundation in a special drive. I have a little bit of information. That endeavor is this Wednesday on December 10th. And so hopefully some of you will be able to stop in. And then taking the foundation's work up a notch, President Thompson also launched our inaugural participation in Giving Tuesday this past year. And in one day, on its first inaugural launch, six donors donated $1,920 to the Oakland Housing Authority Foundation, which was pretty awesome for our inaugural launch. So congratulations to the foundation leadership, Chair and President Thompson and Mooningham. And that concludes highlights from the department reports.
Are there any comments? Does anyone have any questions based on that?
I agree, it was excellent.
It just makes me proud, that's all. Just very proud. This is a great team. It's a great organization. Mm-hmm. And our residents are lovely.
Thank you. Got a highlight for the directors, the unsung heroes, but the heroes behind the magic. And that's all the employees that work with us for each of our departments and the agency. So thank you to all the directors for their hard work.
I think we're going to move on to more excitement with item 10.
Thank you. This is the executive director's report. We have been busy. First slide, please. First, our Foster Youth Halloween Bash took place on October 30th. And this is just a idea of the joy. And this is the staff team having joy being able to help our foster youth participate in that endeavor. And thank you for the staff team for all the joy. Next slide, please. We've heard a lot today about the strategic plan for our OPI portfolio. This is a photograph of the strategy team, both staff as well as the consultant partners from Lazar, up development and urban focused development after, quite frankly, 4 hours in a van touring many units of the OB property, and we were still smiling. So just highlighting the fact that that work continues, and we hope to be able to report out milestones, certainly to our OB board, of achievements in that endeavor. This is an acknowledgement of an upcoming opportunity to participate in the Northern California Nevada chapter of NAROS 2026 annual conference, January 25th to the 27th. On the Sunday of that endeavor will be the traditional Board of Commissioner training, if any commissioners would like to participate in that one-day event. And then, of course, 2 days of multiple topics. There will be a contingency of Oakland Housing Authority staff, both participating and, I believe, providing presentations on the topics that you see there. So this is always a very engaging, hands-on conference for Northern California NARO. And if you're interested in attending, please let Mr. Gaskin know. Next slide, please, sir. And wow, we're about to be busy because our Oakland Housing Authority Foundation, in partnership with our staff teams led by our own Oakland Housing Authority Police Department and Family Community Services partnership with a lot of staff volunteers, are gearing up to serve over 600 young people this holiday with providing them with gifts and activities so they know that they continue to be cared for, not just in providing quality housing, but also joy during this holiday season, no matter how they celebrate the holiday. If you'd like to attend, we welcome you being able to be in this environment. It is, there words can't describe the joy that you get from being there. I know we're often supported by Commissioner Mace, who volunteers and does sign in. So please let Mr. Gaskin know if you'd like to attend that endeavor. Another opportunity for us to look at the results of this board's support of Lion Creek Crossing, one of our initial Hope 6 sites. We recently, our final finishing up in partnership with Related Company and the on-site property management company of Embossy, the refinancing and rehab of phases 1 and 2. We facilitated a tour that day with a CEO of California, Ann Silverberg, and the staff team of ORED and asset management, as well as the Related Company development team. The property really is refreshed and vibrant on this refinancing activity. So it was a joy to see the fact that for these first two phases, the residents will benefit from refreshed, renewed, restructured affordable housing units. So it was a great morning, afternoon. Yes, morning. This is the much talked about highlight of the District 6 turkey giveaway, where 100 families who reside in District 6 through the OP portfolio and the public housing portfolios in that area were able to receive full baskets, including a pumpkin pie, very important. One of the things I'd like to highlight is one of the biggest groups of volunteers was the Oakland Housing Authority staff.
Really?
We had members of our maintenance teams, our capital improvement teams, our property operations services teams, the executive office, policy implementation and compliance, and FCP. It was a joyful day. You can see it was, we were joined by Mayor Barbara Lee and council member President Kevin Jenkins and Rowena, council member at large Rowena Brown, as well as representatives of funders, including East Bay Rental Housing Association and ShopRite. And it was perfect weather, perfect day, perfect enthusiasm. I want to highlight the fact that several of our team members brought family members, spouses, and children to help ensure that families in District 6, again, understand that we care beyond just the provision of housing. And you can see by the smiles, it was an absolutely fantastic effort. And that's I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because it begins the season personally for me, being able to be a part of this endeavor. Next slide, sir. And here is our commissioner meeting schedule calendar for 2026, followed by our calendar for 2027, I believe. And then lastly, closing out, just a acknowledgement of the hard work of our partners with the Resident Advisory Board, discussing, quite frankly, a whole host of policy items in terms of the Resident Advisory Board's input to our MTW plan, our MTW report, and special endeavors. So you can see that just the intensity and the seriousness of this group. Special thanks to Commissioners Barbara Montgomery and Commissioner Mays, who are very active and very consistent in providing leadership in that room. And in that room, everyone is an advisor from our resident community. So thank you both, commissioners. And thank you to the staff team that do a lot of work to prepare, just like they do for this commission meeting, that we take seriously, making sure that we provide our resident advisory board information and opportunity to engage and provide input. And so I know that this upcoming year, there's a lot of attention by our Resident Advisory Board to join us in advocacy efforts. So stay tuned. They're very much interested in that. And I believe that concludes. I have a couple more slides. Oh, thank you. I forgot. We've been busy. This past Friday, we were able to join Mayor Barbara Lee, Congresswoman Latifah Simon, and of course our Senator Adam Schiff, with several other elected, as well as you'll see familiar faces of our nonprofit affordable housing development partners, as well as our City of Oakland partnership with HCD, at the at an event to just highlight the importance of supporting endeavors to further affordable housing through different funding sources and resources led by our elected, and also to celebrate the beautiful community there that was built by Saha and the Native American.
Kelson.
Thank you. Yes. And I just blanked out on the name of the property, which is awful because it's absolutely stunning. Excuse me. 30. No, not that one, but we'll make sure that we highlight it because I realize it's not here for the actual property. I should mention that the elder sitting at the front is an elder with the Native American Center for apparently the last 35 years. And this particular property of affordable housing was one of his dreams. So as you can see, he is very much being honored by the rest of us as an elder in our community. So it was a delight to be part of that endeavor. And this past Saturday, as I mentioned, our Oakland Housing Authority Police Department, supported by FCP Asset Management Real Estate Department of Property Operations, provided a meaningful breakfast for several of our residents at Palo Vista. There'll be another one for East Oakland. And Chief Luther Dupree wants me to remember to say that this is the effort for us to highlight the fact that our police department, our staff, it's not just about doing our work, but making sure people are fed, not just through great pancakes and lots of syrup, but through engagement and commitment to being part of a larger community. And so I believe this was the 6th annual pancake breakfast on early Saturday morning. And my understanding is that the head chef was not allowing other chefs to help flip pancakes. And we're going to work on him sharing the spatula this upcoming week. There are some people hoping to get in on the action. But as you can see, it's very
might
widely
be a
attended.
Lost cause.
Next slide, sir. And then on Friday morning, the California Association of Housing Authorities, we helped to co-facilitate the annual winter meeting. You see around that table representation of 30 housing authorities as south as Santa Barbara, going up the way to the border, and discussing a lot of points of interest of for the Housing Authority industry groups, everything from statutory requirements, redevelopment requirements, the differences between the needs for our individual jurisdictions, and as you can see, again, the intensity of us all brainstorming on how to work together and make sure that we're sharing information and resources and technical assistance. It was hosted by our colleagues with the Vanessa Cooper, the City of Alameda Housing Authority, and we co-facilitated with the rest of the leadership from CAHA. So much appreciation for the staff who assist us in making this kind of thought work happen.
Yeah, in person too. That's amazing.
That's right.
God, good for you.
And just this morning, we celebrated the grand opening of Coliseum Commons, built by Operation Dignity and Danko as their partnership. As you can see, the celebration was led by our own Mayor Barbara Lee and City Council President Kevin Jenkins. I had the honor of speaking alongside them. The Housing Authority provided $4.5 million in rental assistance subsidy for this particular project of permanent supportive housing. We got to do a tour with one of the proud residents who said over and over again how meaningful this was to him. This was a home key project. So it is evidence of what can happen through multiple funding partners and public sector partners coming together to make action happen. It speaks to one of our items this evening on trying to accelerate more programs like this. It was a delight to be able to celebrate 37 units of permanent affordable housing at this particular project. One of the interesting things that was that I noted in my comments is that the word commons is an old English word that basically speaks to the concept that it's common because all of the resources are available to everyone who lives within the common. And it also empowers not just the public entities, but the residents themselves to be part of what helps the common space thrive. So I did put that charge to residents and partners alike to make sure that we continue to pay it forward. So the commons exponentially grows through the development of additional affordable housing. And I believe that now concludes our report and speaks to, as we close out the final meeting for this year, the really important work. And the word courage was used tonight by many of our commissioners, but the important work that the 374 plus staff of the Oakland Housing Authority, in partnership with a multitude of supporting vendors and consultants and business partners, including and not the least of the over 5,000 property owners who serve as landlords in our Section 8 program. What we do here, there are not enough words to express the importance of it. And as we go into this holiday season, as your executive director and your CEO, I want to say with all sincerity, thank you. This is hard work. It was never ending. And it speaks to not just being able to process the administrative functions that we told, but to be able to bring heart and spirit and intellectual energy and, most importantly, the spark of kindness and love of humanity to the work we do. And we can't thank our staff teams enough who aren't in these meetings. And I hope that this holiday season, as we continue our activities, and I'm speaking now to all the beautiful people I see in front of me, when the times get as tough as they will, that's to be assured that we remember to pause, breathe, and be thankful that we get to do this important work each and every day together as a staff team underneath the governance leadership of our phenomenal board of commissioners who volunteer a lot of time and heart and effort and energy to help give us guidance and perspective to the work we do, coupled with the support of teams like our phenomenal council, who I can say work a lot of hours on behalf of the Oakland Housing Authority, both Ms. Browns. And just wanted to say from the bottom of my heart, on behalf of every soul we touch, no matter how we touch them, thank you and happy holidays.
Thank you.
We're not done.
I'm gonna drop it.
Is it possible for you all, like you all do such wonderful work, can I give you all like a round of applause?
Thank you.
Hello, hello.
Chair, that concludes my hour report. Thank you.
Thank you. What a great way to round out the end of the year. And it's also a great way to round out the year that we have a report by a commission committee, because we don't have a lot of those all the time.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I'm pleased to share and actually continue my gratitude that the Board of Directors actually approved items 7.1 and 7.2, which was directly related to the topic that we shared at the Standing Real Estate Development Committee on November 18th, 2025. Our staff went into detail about the Harrison Tower rehabilitation, which is the presentation that you heard today. We talked about the air rights parcel, the design process, the additional scope of work, the seismic retrofit of the commercial space, which resulted in the request and approvals for $7 million for the residential parcel and $9 million for the commercial parcel. Thank you so much. That work will move forward. Thank you to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you so much, commissioners, for your time during that special meeting. And Chair, something just hit me. I thanked the team as a whole, but when I showed a lot of those activities, there's a core group of folk that help with the logistics. Mm. And so I want to give a shout out to the executive office team, specifically Mr. Jose Barillas, Mr. Mercedes Gaskin. I'm going to borrow Ms. Wanda Kelly. There's so many other names, Priscilla of our CCGS team that helped to make sure that we keep things moving. And I wanted to just do a special thank you because it allows OHA to show up differently and all the other team do it. But those are truly sometimes our behind the scene unsung heroes. So I just wanted to say thank you before we finish this out.
We talked about hard work. I don't disagree, but I think it's also heart work is the way to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But I think our last item here is just, are there announcements by any of the commissioners? All right, then. I would entertain a motion to adjourn into closed session, which is item 13.
Commissioner Dardis, I move adjournment to closed session.
Is there a second?
I second.
It's one of the things I need to check on with the Secretary Wells and anyone who is. Okay, great. Secretary Wells, are there any members of the public wishing to address the board regarding this item?
There are none.
Oh, closed session. Great. Can we get a roll call, please?
Yeah. Chair Griffith?
Aye.
Commissioner Castillo?
Aye.
Commissioner Jung Lee?
Aye.
Commissioner Montgomery?
Aye.
Commissioner Mays?
Aye.
Commissioner Dardis?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. We will now take a 5-minute break. Thank you.
Thank you, staff. We have all of the chiefs in from the regular.
Dave and Evelyn, our senior director of human resources and experience, and our director of finance. Thanks very much. Are we live? Great. We are back in open session at
944 as to the first matter 14.1, there is nothing to report out. As to matter 14.2, the board unanimously authorized the ED to initiate litigation if needed. And from there, I would entertain a motion to adjourn the whole shebang.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Do we have, I'm going to ask my question. Secretary Wells?
The public is asleep.
Okay, great. Am I doing a roll call? No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Can I get a roll call?
Chair Griffith.
Aye.
Mr. Castillo.
Aye.
Mr. Jung Lee.
Aye.
Mr. Montgomery.
Aye.
Mr. Mays.
Aye.
Mr. Dardis.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Good night and thank you, everyone.
Yes. Good night. Thank you. Merry Christmas. And then I'll go back and listen. I want to go to some of those.